Shall we read again from the Word of God this time in Romans chapter 8? Just a few verses before where our brother read to us earlier. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Now let us turn to the second epistle of Paul to Timothy. The second epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 1. Verse number 5. Second Timothy, chapter 1, and verse number 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, that dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. Verse number 11. Whereunto, that is the gospel, I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And we do trust the Lord will be pleased by the riches of his grace to bless his word with all that has gone before in his name. I've read the three times in the New Testament where the beloved apostle uses words that are very simple and are very confirming. He says in these three passages, I am persuaded. I want to link them together in a simple way that I trust will help you further to an acceptance of the Lord Jesus. The apostle is speaking here of a persuasion relative to reality. A persuasion relative to reality. And he's speaking of the faith of a genuine son, Timothy. And then I want you to listen to his words again as he speaks of a persuasion relative to a capability. And he's speaking of the power, he's speaking of the ability of the Savior to keep that which he had committed to him against that day. And then I want you to see that he has a persuasion relative to security. The security that God's salvation offers to the soul that has rested, where we heard tonight, upon the finished work and upon the one that finished that work, our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have reality. Timothy is called a genuine son in the faith. Now, dear friend, it's important that you're genuine. And I'm thinking especially not so much of your rectitude and your reliability in character in place of responsibility that I trust is yours already. But you know, we set aside all that at this moment. And what we're thinking about is a genuineness in your simple, in your personal, in your real, in your vital trust in the Lord Jesus. It's for eternity. So you have to be real. It's not for the years of time alone. So you have to be genuine. Here is something of which you have to be absolutely sure. That there came a moment in your history, whether long or short, that you placed your trust forever and for salvation in the person of God's beloved Son. Now, can you tell me, if I were to ask you personally, if I were to ask you privately, if I were to ask you penetratingly, dear friend, when did you trust the Lord Jesus? Can you tell me? If I were to ask you where you trusted the Lord Jesus, can you tell me? If I were to ask you how you trusted the Lord Jesus, I wonder, dear friend, could you tell me? I don't want you to tell me that you think certain things. I don't want you to tell me that you hope certain things. I don't want you to be undecided. I don't want you to be indecisive. That would make me afraid. That would make me apprehensive. Friend, I want to be able to shake your hand in the assurance that you're ready for heaven. You got that tonight? To someone, how could I be assured that I'm ready for heaven? My dear friend, if you're resting upon that mighty work we heard about tonight, that a soul please God as to offer you salvation free, then, dear friend, you're ready for it. Go back. And I want to tell you, young friend, whoever you might be tonight, an older one too, as our brother said in prayer, and all in between, I would advise you to settle it tonight. Paul could look back to the moment, I suppose, or to the occasion when this dear young man trusted the Lord Jesus. I'm not going to go into his background. All I want to strive with you tonight is this, friend. If I were dealing with you and you were dealing with me, would I have the persuasion that you're me? That's what I want. You know, dear friend, it not really matter whether I'm persuaded or not. The real thing, are you persuaded? And you know, friend, there is a possibility that you could think you have. And there's a possibility you act as though you have. And it may be, friend, you're not saved at all. I wouldn't want to discomfort anyone, but friend, with eternity in view, and the nearness of the Lord's coming that we've heard about, I think it's good that we go back to the foundation, if foundation we have, and ask ourselves the question, have we reality here? Have we got genuineness here? Have we got a false profession? Or have we got the real thing? My friend, that's essential for eternity. And Paul could look back to the period when the gospel was preached and Timothy entered the family of God through faith in the Lord Jesus. He spoke of his faith He knew he was in the family. He called him a brother in the fellowship. He called him a soldier in the fight. And he called him a worker in the field. And we could go on through the New Testament. But friend, let me get back to this as I pause for a moment. What about your reality? Have you really trusted Christ as your Savior? I remember the night that I trusted the Lord Jesus. I was just a little boy of 11. I was lying in a tent, and there were 6 other people lying in the same tent with their feet to the center pole. And no one heard, no one knew in that tent that evening what was going on in my soul. I just accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as I lay on a bag of straw. Simply, sincerely, and childlike. But thank God, not a bit childish. Okay? Now the next morning, I tell you what happened. The devil said to me, "No one heard what you said last night." You know what was right? Not a soul heard what went between my soul and God. And the devil tried to disturb me by saying, "No one heard what you said last night, therefore you're not saved. You've no proof." And you know, for a moment or so, friend, I was deeply disturbed and I was truly upset. But I remembered that there were many people, probably, and I'd heard about them, that were in the same situation. What did they do? I could remember testimonies that I heard in old Ebenezer, and many a time the place was packed as dear brethren told of their soul salvation. And they told us that they turned to the Word of God. And I just did that very early on the 2nd of July, 1936. It was a beautiful summer's morning. As you know, friend, I turned to John 5:24. That lovely verse that our brother read to us and preached the other evening. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And you know, dear friend, I want to tell you something. At that very moment, the assurance of God's salvation flooded my soul. And from that moment to this, I haven't a qualm as to that issue. Not because I did anything. But friend, I want to tell you as a little fellow, the authority, the blessedness, the sweetness, the power of the Word of God did its work in my soul. And you know, it confirmed the reality of my faith in Christ. You got that? My faith is very, very little. But friend, I want to tell you the secret of my salvation. My faith is in Christ. Faith. And I'm trusting Him. And because I'm trusting Him, all is well for eternity. I want you to think of this lovely verse. Listen to these words. "I know whom I have believed." I mentioned to some that were present the other evening that God is interested in you being absolutely conscious and personally aware of the fullness of His salvation. Don't be deceived, friend. Oh, please. Don't listen to those that say to you, you can't be certain. Don't be deceived by those who say, you cannot know. Friend, we would cease the preaching if that were the case, but with an open book. And with God's holy word before us. It is written, says the word in the epistle of John, that ye might know.
That you might know.
And so here is the apostle expressing a confidence beyond the realm of doubt. A confidence beyond the realm of doubt. What is it? I know. I know whom. I know whom I have believed.
Now friend, you see, it's back to the same question. You'll pardon me stressing it, but I feel, friend, with that breath coming from the hand of God upon which you're dependent, and if that hand were to close upon your breath tonight, and that pulse in your veins stops, you'll be in hell, and you need to realize that you have to be real, and you have to face it. Do you know this person? Have you believed this person? Have you a confidence in Christ beyond the realm of doubt? Have you?
Paul had it. Paul can look back to the moment when on the Damascus Road he came in contact with the risen, glorified Savior, and he looked back to it often according to the words of Luke in the Acts of the Apostles and his many references even in these lovely epistles. You know, friend, I want you to feel tonight that this is something that is absolutely experimental. Not something that we get from books, but something that God will give you the moment you trust the Lord Jesus. An experimental knowledge of His saving power and grace.
He said, I know whom I have believed, and he said, I am persuaded. A conviction beyond the realm of dispute. I'm persuaded. Now, you know, friend, that's a powerful word in our Bible. I want you to think of it just as our brother used the word of God already. I want to use the word of God now and put it into your very heart and beyond, I trust, the reach of the enemy. Paul says, and am persuaded. I want you to get the strength, and I want you to get the sweetness of this lovely word and its solemnity. If I were to bring you to Romans chapter 4, I would read with you about the man our brother spoke about from Genesis 22, the same man, Abraham. And you know what Paul said about him? He says that Abraham was fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. And he was fully persuaded in spite of frightful opposition and limitation. He knew he was dead. In the context of the rest, he knew his wife couldn't bear a son after the manner of man. He knew that there was deadness all around. But listen, friend, he was fully persuaded that God was able also to perform. My friend, listen, I don't know what your doubts are. And I don't know what your disputes may be. But listen, I want the word of God to clear every cloud and every shadow from your little soul and your little mind tonight, however young or old you might be, and I want you to be fully persuaded. Nothing less will do. And get your eye of yourself, and get your eye of the preacher, and get your eye of the believers, and just get your eye on the holy God that loves you and has sent your son to die for you, and be fully persuaded of this, that God is able what to do. To do what is promised. To bring life out of death. What we do here tonight, dead in trespasses and in sins, right? And I want to tell you, the moment you trust the Savior, you'll have life forever in Christ. You'll be able. And fully persuaded. Don't doubt the word of God. And please don't doubt the God of the word. And be like Abraham, friend. And God would speak to you through His Word. That's why we quote it and try to quote it freely and try to quote it accurately. I was encouraged tonight. There's a man down there sitting listening with all his heart. On bended knee, what did he say tonight in prayer? The very words I'm going to bring to you now. A man face to face with a preacher just like you and heard the message just like you. And as he listened, there was a stirring, I believe, in her soul. And the preacher must have pointed directly to Agrippa, for he mentioned him by name, and he says, Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? He said, I know that thou believest. And Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. In spite of a real faithful presentation of the gospel, that man was not persuaded. Spite of it. Man, I love to read that message Paul gave him. Some night I might preach a wee bit of it. But never mind, friend. Get at this, and here you are in the meeting. And is it possible, friend, the Spirit of God working in your soul and you're brought right up to the very door of salvation? But not through it, by faith. Almost, but not altogether. What was the immediate reaction of the preacher? He said, I would that all that hear me this day were not altogether, but were not almost, but altogether such as I am, except these bonds. What do you mean? He looked at that man and he said, listen, mister, almost is not enough. Come to the words of the Lord Jesus. And he's drawn back the curtain that no one else could handle. And he's shown us hell. And he's spoken of a man in it. And he tells us of the man's flee from the torments of hell. First in respect of himself, and then in respect of his five brethren. And the Lord Jesus unfolds to us a conversation between this man and Abraham. And the words of that man to the man in hell with this. What was the man after? The man was after this. Go tell my brethren and warn them lest they come to this place of torment. Will someone not go and tell them? And listen to the words. They have Moses and the prophets. And they will not be persuaded. No one rose from the dead. Abram, fully persuaded. Agrippa, almost persuaded. These men will not be persuaded. Friend, listen. You see that book tonight? I want to tell you plainly, you're shut up to that book. I can't go beyond it. I must keep within its covers. For this is the word that's going to judge me in that day and you too. And listen, if you reject, and in spite of this revelation that God has given in His word, you reject it. Remember this. Remember this. You'll never be persuaded. What is he persuaded about? He says, I am persuaded that he is able. A capacity beyond the realm of defeat. He is able. A great. He is able. That lovely friend. Who's he speaking about? The Lord Jesus. What's he saying? He's saying, friend, that there is a capacity in the Savior to do something
that will never, 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 never be defeated. Well, if I thought of that, I would think of the words that Paul writes again in chapter 7:25 of the Hebrews. Wherefore, he is able also to save. To save. And then I could read another word. He is able to do. Able to do. But you know, dear friend, we delight in the absolute capability of Christ to save. If every sinner in the meeting tonight, at this point of time, were to place their trust in the Savior, he would save you each one in a moment of time. Why? He is able. And this dear man has got it, for he sees that the Christ is a capability beyond defeat. He's able to keep. Listen to what our brother said. Listen to the prayer of the Lord Jesus as he speaks to his Father concerning those that were given to him. He says, none of them is lost. You know, friend, you put your trust in the Lord Jesus tonight. He is able to keep. To someone, I couldn't hold on to it. That's not the question, friend. If you put your trust in Christ, you leave the keeping with him. He is able to keep. That which I have committed unto him, a committal beyond dispute, a committal beyond the realm of dispute. I tell you, friend, you can argue as much as you like, and try it tonight if you wish, and dislodge me and my soul from the little act that I did as a little fellow. I've been 10:30 on the 1st of July 1936. What did I do? I put my all in Christ. Can't dispute that, friend. I was there. One morning in Ebenezer, unknown to all the saints gathered, was a little fellow of 12, sat behind watching the whole thing go on. The Spirit of God moved this young fellow as he sat there and he saw the saints, including his mother and father, break the bread and drink the cup. I love the way he puts it in his testimony. He says, I was brought to that very point where I just said, Lord, I shoulder it all on thee. Isn't that lovely? I'll shoulder it all in thee. Talking about that burden that Mr. Crawford was talking about. That's what he's doing. And he just put it all in Christ. You see, that's what Paul did. And that's what I did. It's a committal beyond the realm of dispute, friend, because of me. Able to keep what? That which I've committed unto him against that day. A composure beyond the realm of despair. Now don't think I'm proud, man. Don't think I'm proud, lady. I traveled in a 747 on a certain date in July. I'll tell you the date because you think I'm superstitious. 2 years ago. Took off from Singapore at 9 o'clock at night. Getting well over the southeast of Indonesia. I was sitting about in the middle of the aircraft. And I saw on either side streaks of flame from both engines. Right past the window. Maxwell and I worked long enough in the aircraft factory to know there's only a minute more. People were screaming.
Men were on their knees with their beads.
Women were hysterical.
I said, Lord, we had time to prove the power of the blood. Committed my wife that was in Kuala Lumpur to the Lord. Committed my family to the Lord. Committed the little work that I just left to the Lord. I said, Lord, in a moment it'll be all over. Composed. Why? He is able. You got that?
Now, in the mercy of God, the plane didn't blow up. I wouldn't have been here. But I reached a place one day where a great engineer that fashioned the very engines that was on the plane was to tell me about those very engines, that by the time you landed at Jakarta, Tom, had only 10 minutes left, and the other two engines that were left. God was good. You got that composure, friend?
I have to finish that. When you go home, get out Romans 8. And get those verses that I read to you. And you'll count in the first few verses 7 things. And you'll count in the next few verses 10 things. And not one of those 17 things can separate me from the love that's in Christ. Paul says, I'm persuaded of that. So am I.
We believe in eternal salvation, friend. And you can have that security tonight. I'm among them tonight. Are you?
May you be so, friend, through faith in Christ, among the saved, and you'll be counted in.